Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. You can find this study on our eternal position in Christ on Abide in Christ, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Our Eternal Position in Christ. I love the illustration that Billy Graham has given through the years. Let's suppose for a moment that I died tonight and stood before the Lord God, who is supreme judge of the universe. No doubt he would ask me, "Will Pounds, why should I let you into my heaven? You're a guilty sinner. How do you plead?" And my response would be, "I plead guilty, Your Honor." My advocate Jesus Christ is standing there beside me, speaks up for me. He says, "Your Honor, it's true. Will Pounds is a grievous sinner. He is guilty. He deserves eternal punishment for his sinfulness. However, Father, I died for him on the cross and rose from the dead. Will Pounds has put his faith and trust in me and all that I have done for him on the cross. He's a believer. I died for him, and he has accepted me as his substitute." The Lord God turns to me and says, "Is that true?" I will respond to him, "Yes, sir. That is true. I am claiming the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me of all of my sins. I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone to save me for all eternity." And this is what you have promised in your word. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world," and that includes Will Pounds, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Lord God responds, "Acquitted. By order of this court, I demand that you be set free. The price has been paid by my Son." The truth is, we all fall short of the glory of God. We need someone to rescue us and to set us free. And that person has to be a substitute for us, because sin requires the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. We need someone who is holy and just in the eyes of the Lord God. And only he can satisfy the holy eyes of God and God's righteousness. God, in his rich mercy toward us, provided someone. God's provision of salvation for the sinner is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith." And this was a demonstration of his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 36. Jesus Christ is the sinless, perfect substitute Son of God who came and died as our substitute on the cross. The cross was a place of judgment, and at the cross our sin debt was paid in full by Jesus Christ. Based upon that punishment of sin on our behalf, God extends to us his grace and saves us. God doesn't play make-believe. He does not legalize a fiction of the imagination. The judicial act by which a holy and righteous God gives us a right standing before him is called justification. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, "Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone." God declares the believing sinner that he has been made forever right and acceptable to God. This is the sinner's new position before the Lord God. It's been accomplished by God's grace. In justification, does not simply mean just as if I've never sinned. That doesn't go far enough. Neither does it mean that God makes us righteous so that I never sin again. Charles Swindoll has said it means to be declared righteous. Justification is God's merciful act whereby he declares righteous the believing sinner while he is still in his sinning state. He sees us in our need, wallowing around in the swamp of our sin. He sees us looking to Jesus and trusting Jesus completely by faith to cleanse us from our sin. And though we come to him with all of our needs and in all of our darkness, God says to us, declared righteous, forgiven, pardoned. Justification is a legal standing with God based upon Christ's death and resurrection and our faith in him. We are declared to be righteous by God, and therefore justification is the legal and the formal acquittal from guilt by God who is judge. God pronounces the sinner as righteous who believes on Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Because God is a holy and just God, he cannot condemn the person who is before justified. Romans 8:33 says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. The ground of our justification is secure in the person who died for us. The Apostle Paul adds in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Our justification is unchanging and unchangeable because of the secure foundation upon which it stands. Because Christ is righteous and you have believed on Christ, you are now declared legally righteous. This pardon and righteousness comes only to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In that great transaction, something wonderful happened. God welcomes us into his family. We come into an intimate love relationship with him. We can now enter into his holy presence because we are now clothed in Christ's perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The one person who was sinless, who had never experienced sin, was made sin on our behalf. Jesus took all our sin and guilt upon himself at the cross and died in our place. He did it in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No wonder God declares our salvation work finished. My sin debt has been paid in full at the cross of Jesus Christ. And now God gives us his perfect righteousness. This is now the actual standing of the Christian before the Lord God. It is our unchanging position. And God's provision of a new position before him is perfect. We are reconciled by God in Jesus Christ. Every believer has been placed in an eternal position before God. God has reconciled us to himself. We are no longer his enemies. We are now considered his friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 tells us, and therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come. And now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our old position has been exchanged for a new one. We are a new creation. God made us. Our spiritual birth placed us in this new position. and we're now identified with Jesus Christ. This is true of every person who believes on Jesus Christ. We are made righteousness of God through being in Jesus Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ because He was made sin for us. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 emphatically, clearly states this great truth. This is our new position with God. And the Apostle Paul states this position when he gave his testimony in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all these things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. We have a perfect position forever before the Lord God. And though our present condition is not perfect, we are saved sinners. However, the Christian is perfected forever in position before the Lord God. We have been set apart to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 tells us, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." The word sanctified means set apart. We have been set apart for God's unique purpose. We have the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ becomes our unchanging position. John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 16, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." The Apostle Paul relates the same truth in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, when he says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." The fullness is the sum total of all Christ is. It is that number or quality that is complete in itself. Christ is a fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 1:19 tells us, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell." And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." This is the source of our strength to live the Christian life. And Ephesians 1 tells us that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We dwell within the very source of our spiritual blessing with which the Father has blessed us. Now this complete perfect standing belongs to every believer. God sees us as perfected in His Son. It is not that the bestowment of righteousness. Justification causes no one to be righteous. It's a forensic or declared righteousness. We are judged righteous by God based upon the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. The believing sinner becomes righteous in God's sight when he is in Christ, and we are justified by God freely or without a cause. This righteousness from God is possessed on a faith principle and an answer to faith in Christ. It belongs to all who believe on Jesus Christ. We're all being justified freely. We do not come in possession of it by being good. It's freely of God's grace through faith in Christ. God is Himself just and righteous in His dealing with us who do no more than believe on Christ. Our justification rests solely in the redeeming death of Jesus Christ. C.C. Ryrie says, "And when we believe all that Christ is, God puts to our account, and thus we stand acquitted. The Bible never says we're justified on account of our faith. That would make faith a meritorious work, but justification by works. Faith is like an outstretched empty hand that receives the righteousness of Christ. The believer is righteous because he's in Christ. God can announce that he is righteous, and that is justification. The Bible never says we are justified on account of our faith. That would make faith a meritorious work and thus justification by works. Christ is our source of spiritual life. Because we have been set apart positionally to God, we are to be increasingly set apart in our daily lives. In our position before God, no one is more sanctified than anyone else. We are to grow spiritually, drawing our daily strength from our positional standing before the Lord God. Indeed, that's the only way we will grow spiritually. Our eternal position affects our daily condition in this life. The risen Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. The life in the vine is increasingly supplied to the living branches. The healthy life of the branch is conditioned upon their abiding in their position in the vine. The fruit of the vine is produced in the branches, and our positional source is the vine. It's Jesus Christ. The vine has everything to do with the development and the fruitfulness of the branches. The responsibility of the believer is to abide where he is born. It must abide in its living position, a spiritual source of life. The life of the vine is the fruit of the branch. The life of Christ is the life of the believer. And the source from which the Christian life flows is the vine. We draw our strength from our position in Jesus Christ. This new perfect position is our source for all spiritual life and growth. Our daily Christian life is the product of this position in Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in the presence of the Father. All that Christ is becomes the Christian's possession because of the fact that he lives in him. The believer cannot be perfectly in Christ and not partake of all that Christ is. Our present condition is variable. We're still sinners. And as we walk by faith, our eternal position affects our daily condition. However, our present condition in no way affects our heavenly position. Our fellowship with God is affected, but not our position before the Lord God. Unconfessed sin damages our intimacy and fellowship. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us make this very clear. Our present condition is variable. We're still sinners. As we walk by faith, our eternal position affects our daily condition, our way we live our Christian life. But our present condition in no way affects our heavenly position. Our fellowship with God is affected, but not our position before him. The Amplified Bible reads in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him." And this speaks of our drawing our daily strength from our position before the throne of God. We grow spiritually as we abide in Jesus Christ. And when we abide in Christ, we're drawing from our Christ-centered position. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, "Our life is hid with Christ in God." We abide when we reckon on Christ. In the same way, we count or consider or reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Be constantly counting upon the fact that you're dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. We are to rest our faith in these great positional truths in the Word of God. We appropriate God's power by faith in Jesus Christ. We exchange our weakness for His strength. We're told by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." We are gradually conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is Himself the express image of God's person. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And when Christ returns, we will be just like Jesus Christ. Are you appropriating the spiritual food and resources from your position in Jesus Christ? This is the active side of abiding in Christ. We abide in Christ by resting our faith in His great biblical truths. I abide in my position in Christ. God the Father has provided everything we need in the Christian life in Christ Jesus. He's constantly removing our false securities to cause us to trust in Him alone. By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin has been covered. By faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the old man is pulled off. By faith in our heavenly position in Jesus Christ, the new man is put on. In this passage of Scripture, it's critical for us to bear in mind that we have been describing the Christian life. It begins with a spiritual birth. And if you're not bearing fruit, it may be because you've never been born again. And that's where this kind of life begins. It begins with an intimate personal faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The believer has a perfect position before the Father. We have the fullness of Jesus Christ abiding in us. But it begins with a personal relationship with Him. Jesus said that we need to recognize God's plan for us. That God wants us to have this kind of life. That God wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him throughout all eternity. God loves you and He wants you to experience His peace and life. He desires for you to have this lasting, intimate love relationship with Him. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," in John 3:16. God so loved the world. He loves the people who live in Buenos Aires, Argentina, or the people who live in Quito, Ecuador, or Tegucigalpa, Honduras. But God loves you. Put your own name in this verse of Scripture. "For God so loved Will Powell's. For God so loved John or Mary or Jane, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life." But the fact is, we have a problem, and it's a serious problem. We are, because of our sinful nature, we receive blessings upon us. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. That includes every one of us. Nothing we can do will get us into fellowship with the Lord God because of our sinfulness. Good works, church membership, baptism are all short bridges between here and eternity. We're sinners. We're condemned sinners who have failed to be what God wants us to be. But praise God. God in His wonderful love and grace has provided the remedy. God has done something that we can never do on our own. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bridge the gap between you and God. Christ did this by paying the penalty for our sins when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ died for you on that cross and rose from the dead. But God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God provided the solution to our problem for an intimate love relationship with him when he sent Jesus Christ, and Christ died in our place on that cross. What must I do to be saved? The Bible is very, very clear that we receive God's Son, that we put our faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ to save us. We enter into an intimate love relationship with the Lord God when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible doesn't add anything else to it. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. The Bible does not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. It doesn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be a church member. It doesn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and do good works. It's believe on Jesus Christ alone and receive the free gift of eternal life. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And that's why the Apostle Paul can say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you? He'll save you right now, this very moment, by acknowledging to him that you're a sinner and believing on Jesus Christ, that Christ went to the cross and died for all of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And the very moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins are pardoned, forgiven, and you enter into the perfect peace with the Lord God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, "Therefore is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The Bible is very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Would you pray along with me if you've never accepted Jesus Christ before? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. I now believe that Christ died in my place on the cross in order to forgive me of my sins. I know that Christ rose from the dead and lives today. I confess my sins to you. I repent. I put my faith in you to save me. I want you to save me for all eternity. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Amen. The Lord God wants to save you right now, this very moment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.